It's the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime. Join physical therapist, author, and human performance expert John Zombro and inquisitive life-optimizing co-host PK the Incomparable as we explore the secrets of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness in the pursuit of ultimate wellness. In each and every show, you'll learn how to look, feel, and perform your best so that you can live your longest, healthiest, and happiest life. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 18 of the Lifetime Body Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro, and today our topic, our title for the show is another mailbag episode, Questions About Masters Athletics. This is going to be a great show because it gets right into one of the main reasons that we started the podcast, and that's to share the message of ultimate wellness and performance with our audience and to engage with everyone on the topic of life optimization. It's a real treat and a thrill, you know, for us to actually have this opportunity to address some in-depth listener questions. And right up front, let's emphasize that if any of our messages resonate with you, please don't hesitate to reach out to me directly by emailing me at john@thelifetimebody.com so that we get the chance to do more of these shows. And without further ado, good morning, PK.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, great. Fabulous. I don't think I've ever said anything different when we start the show, and that's really because this is the highlight of my week. I hope that comes through. And, you know, those who know me know that I'm genuine about that.
Absolutely. Well, it's right up there for me. You know, I think that I may do a little motorcycling in the mountains here in the fall. So maybe it's a tie for first for me this week.
Excellent.
Yes. So, so tell me about today's show.
Okay. Today's show is all about some questions that I recently received via email from Marty from San Diego. First of all, I want to thank Marty for his kind words that he said in his email and also for offering up some really insightful questions that really is kind of, again, touching on what we're doing here. So hats off to you, Marty. Today is the Marty Show.
Yes, and since today is the Marty Show, I'm going to go ahead and fill in for Marty, be his proxy. With his permission, this is the email that he recently sent over to John, and he began with, "Dear PK and Coach Jay-Z, I discovered the Lifetime Body Podcast this summer and have been loving it. I listen every week, and you never fail to deliver on things I'm using to improve my health, performance, and life. I recently picked up a copy of John's book, Project Full Circle Squared, and I really related to it. It's a quick, fun read, and but it's full of what you call pearls of wellness wisdom for masters athletes. I'm 45 and a father of three, a business manager, and an avid CrossFitter and sprint distance triathlete. As I'm getting older, I'm trying to remain competitive, but sometimes the juggles of life create quite a bit of a challenge. I manage to keep my weight under control, but it sometimes feels like I'm in a constant struggle with chronic fatigue and exhaustion. I often find myself failing to complete my scheduled training, and I almost never seem to perform to my potential in competitions. I know I've got more in the tank, but I need a little help in getting this dialed in. Sorry for the long-winded lead-in, but I was hoping you could relate your responses more specifically if you knew where I was coming from. Actually, I have four questions, and I understand that is too much to get into a show. I understand if that is too much to get in the show, but here it goes.
Well, hey, man, this is exactly what we were hoping to do someday, and it's today. So we're going to try to provide some specific and deep information that we all can relate to. So, Marty, thanks for leading the way. And, folks, please keep it coming like Jay-Z and the Funshine Band. Keep it coming, love, or whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm really excited for this episode because, you know, when John, when you told me what we were doing, specifically because I think that Marty's questions and his sort of his puzzling about fitting his performance and health and wellness into his busy life and having those questions, I could really identify with it. So let's just get this kicked off. His first question started like this. Question number one, he said, there seems to be a movement in fitness and recreational sports towards more intensity and less endurance overall. In the book and on this podcast, you come across as an advocate of training less volume and using more intensity. John, what is your stance on this topic in general, and how might I use such an approach in my training, which is basically two CrossFit workout of the days, two runs, two master swim workout, and one long bike ride per week?
I guess, thinking about that question, my stance overall, my position on this topic is that endurance is a wonderful character trait. But as a fitness component, it's only one of many. Strength, speed, power, agility, mobility, they are the things that we lose most as we age. That's well documented. But they're overlooked and avoided by too many of the gen pop. So in other words, a lot of the exercise that we see mainstream and also what people are doing is probably weighted too much in endurance and not enough comprehensively addressing all the things that we need for maximal function through the lifespan. So that's sort of my position. And the message I would offer is we only need a small amount of endurance training for health. And then there's a certain amount, that additional amount that a person can do for goals, performance goals, and endurance activity. But much more than that tends to be detrimental. And again, that's well documented, whether it's related to various cardiac abnormalities or chronic fatigue syndrome, et cetera.
Yeah. And John, why do you think that out of that general idea is weighted more towards endurance rather than the other, strength, speed, and power?
Yeah, I think there's probably a number of reasons, and they probably vary with each person's mindset. First, it's very easy to throw on a jacket and a pair of running shoes and head out the door, mm-hmm. or jump on your bike when the weather's nice. So, I certainly respect that, and it's enjoyable to do in many cases. But once we get past, it's convenient, it's accessible, doesn't require a lot of complexity or equipment, then you get into things like, well, those activities, those kind of steady state aerobic exercise activities can be very meditative, and many people, do get great benefits from that. So I think that there's a pull in that direction, and that often also is associated with people finding it off-putting to, be more aggressive maybe, or ballistic, or even to, go to the gym. There are obstacles for many reasons for individuals.
Interesting. So what would you say to Marty here? He's basically, you said, all right, you can focus on some of these other areas. How would you get started if you're him in this regard?
Yeah. So I'd first of all say, hey man, your goals are great. The fact that you're doing, doing some CrossFit, doing some sprint distance triathletes, that's not a bad mix, really, if you're looking at, well, what would be ideal, in terms of addressing all those different categories that we were talking about, like agility and strength and speed and power and endurance. So kudos to you, Marty, for, what you're trying to put together there. But first of all, you might want to consider breaking your sports up into seasons. In other words, only serving one master, which is, yourself or your primary goal or your sport. And so what I would do, or what I might recommend, is try doing your spring and summer as triathlon season, and then look at CrossFit as your fall and winter activities. And, you can divide the year up any way you want, but that would be the first thing. So instead of trying to juggle all these things all at once, all the time, that kind of thinking, I've got one sport, and probably it has, some competitions in it. I'm assuming, in addition to your CrossFit training, you're probably doing some CrossFit comps as well as training for and entering in a couple of these triathlons. So just maybe look at the seasonal approach. It's what the pro athletes do, and it could certainly serve you well also.
So do you think that the triathlon and the CrossFit, they're too diverse? Their focuses are, maybe there's a divide between them.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh. Absolutely can be. So the triathlon, even though, it has the word sprint in it, a sprint distance triathlon, that's approximately a 750 yard or meter swim, and 12 and a half mile bike ride, 5K run. And it takes most people over an hour to complete it. So it's an endurance activity. It's just a briefer version of that model. so that requires a lot of endurance training to excel at, whereas, you know, CrossFit is a little more in the higher intensity arena. And I like the idea that CrossFit can be a great complement to triathlon. In other words, you know, building strength and resiliency and durability in the off season, and then, you know, having more of an endurance focus during the triathlon season. And again, any number of models can work. And some people argue, well, what if I want to really build a gigantic aerobic base in the winter? And okay, that's another model we can talk about. But not to ramble too much. They're not quite the same. CrossFit has quite a bit more technique and skill demand, as well as anaerobic or glycolytic, you know, lactate producing activity. And it's really hard for a body to do all those things concomitantly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, what I'm hearing, you know, directly in his question, he, you know, Marty's saying, am I doing too much? It's almost like it looks like it's 7 workouts per week just feels like too much. And he's looking for some guidance on how to, you know, how to scale that back. Not permission exactly, because, you know, I guess more just sort of like a path to maybe bring that back. So, you know, what would you say about specifically the intensity part of this question?
Yeah, so intensity, I mean, I think that was in the question, and that's something I'm talking about a lot. It does give you more bang for your fitness buck in general, but it demands more recovery, both in the workout and in the week. So another, what that means is if you do a heavy lift or a sprint, you have to recover, you know, a little bit before you can do the next one. So that's an intra workout, you know, recovery or rest model. And then in the week, if you do a big workout, sometimes, you know, if the workout's big enough, you need multiple days of recovery or easy aerobic and mobility work as filler before you're ready to, you know, do another fitness maker type session again. And so that's where, you know, when I looked at that workout routine, it's, you know, kind of interesting to me because, you know, if master swim workouts, you know, they're interval based. And, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, probably at least one of those weekly runs is the bike ride, even though you said it was a long bike ride. So it's probably not intense in terms of, you know, heart rate, but it's probably a big workload on the body because of its duration. And of course we've got the WADs. And so my thing is that, well, gosh, you know, if you, you know, did a little bit less intensity, made your workouts purposely a little bit easier, you might not have as much of this, you know, breakdown, and you'd have more recovery. And then the workouts that you do complete, actually you absorb, and it contributes to your fitness, and you perform better, feel better too.
Gotcha. And so, you know, maybe a little bit more recovery, because that is quite of a load, and, you know, getting more out of, you know, potentially less workouts, but with the same intensity. How would you sort of tie a bow on his question, you know, about all this training?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously he's a busy guy at that time of life. You know, I think, you know, we are either going to or have experienced it or are experiencing it. And so it kind of looks like he's training a little too much and a little too hard. And some great experiments would be to, again, maybe first of all, it looks like he's doing 7 days a week, 7 workouts. I assume that's one a day. Maybe we go to only 5 or 6 days training, you know, so there's a day that's kind of an off day for full rest and recovery, maybe just some nice activity like a walk. That's a great idea. And then maybe only have 1 or 2, if you can allow yourself to do it, Marty, really intense workouts where, you know, the word hard comes into it, and you're training, you know, in that capacity during the week. The rest of it, you know, get back into, if it's a resistance routine, if it's a CrossFit WOD, you know, there's still ways to modify that where you can, you know, trim a few reps, cut back on the weight, increase the recovery, you know, work on a little bit more mobility doing that. And then obviously with your swim workout, you can hold back a tad there. Same's true on the run. Use your heart rate monitor in running in particular to get below 70% of maximum heart rate and see what happens with that. And I think that's why I use the word experiment. You know, you have to try, and I can't say I guarantee one way is going to work, but if you find a way to decrease your volume a little bit and your intensity a moderate amount, you're probably going to have some epiphanies.
I like that. And so that kind of dovetails with Marty's second question, which was this. When I was purchasing your book on Amazon, I read the description and you said in the description, quote, embrace middle age as opposed to rejecting it, end quote. John, can you explain a little bit more about what you meant by this and how I can do the same?
Yeah, we have some people out there, you know, let's say they're around my age and, you know, they're kind of in the media and the mainstream, and they're talking about rejecting middle age. And that doesn't jive with me, to be honest. It's not about fighting and this delusion and denial, you know, where we're in a state of resistance. Instead, it's making peace with ourselves. Hey, you know, we're not 20 anymore. And we probably have more life responsibilities. That's one key to recognize. But that stated, there's the other side of it as well. There's a way to optimize, to maximize and train and compete successfully. And it's all about creating those flow states and those wins.
And so I think that, you know, embracing that, that's kind of a mentality or maybe an emotion. But how do you do that? How do you put that into practice?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say wisdom, you know, wisdom and patience come with maturation. So how do you leverage that to your advantage, or how do I do it? Well, I realize that I can get pretty close. I can get fairly close, but I can't quite, you know, perform the effort, the, you know, intensity and the duration in training that I could when I was 20. You know, I can get pretty close, to be honest. And I also accept that even with all of my lifetime body habits, you know, I'm trying to get good sleep and my nutrition is excellent. And, you know, I'm relatively healthy and fit and good body composition, all those things. I don't recover as well as when I was 20. You know, if I was 20 and I overdid it in training, you know, so I was tired or had a sore or something, I just go to sleep. When I woke up, it was gone. You know, now, you know, I wake up several days in a row and it's a few percentage points better, but there is that. And some of that's undeniable. We have to be realistic that, you know, what we do with our lifestyle is wonderful, incredible, powerfully effective, can be, but also, you know, a maturing athlete has to be wiser both in training and recovery.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what I've experienced and sort of, you know, through, you know, putting the TLB practices into place is that, you know, that recovery, that, you know, the smart, the active recovery that, you know, for example, that walk that you just talked about, in between hard workouts, that thing didn't occur to me when I was younger, and I'm closer to Marty's age. And, that idea of that, you know, putting that wisdom into play for that recovery, I think that those are two things that go hand in hand, kind of in that age zone at middle age and embracing it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you're not ready for a training session, doesn't mean you should or need to do nothing. In most cases, it's just no. Let's take that walk. The list is long of what you can do as general recovery, but quite valuable. And I think that you know, inspires me to talk about perspectives. You know, we want to keep that perspective where it is a balance. Okay, I realize, you know, maybe I'm not 20, or, you know, saying this to Marty as well. But it's certainly important to, you know, be the warrior and fight that fight, set a challenging goal for yourself and maybe make it public. You know, when you share it with others, it automatically increases your accountability and your consistency. And you'll find out who your friends are and who aren't, you know, the people that will get behind you and lift you up and support you. That's good to keep them around. And then the ones that have issues and, you know, want to feel better about themselves by trying to take you down, well, that they might make your B list. But getting back on topic here, you know, we want to work focused, work hard sometimes, and smart about it. And so that's where, you know, if we have all those things functioning, we do pretty well. So in Project Full Circle Square, and this is 2 years ago, so actually over 2 years ago, when I finished my outcome, I ran a 59.76 400 meters age 52. You know, I did the math on that and I inverted it, and my performance rated about 86% of the current national record in the 50 to 54 age group. So I thought, well, you know, that's probably not going to, a score of 86 isn't going to quite get me into the best university, but it's a passing grade at most state colleges, so I'll take it.
Right. And I mean, you know, I look at that and I say that you had a goal. It was an ambitious goal that was important to you. And then you were able to work towards that. It was challenging, but it was, you know, actually very ambitious, but you thought about that in relation to basically your age and, you know, you're at the high end of your performance in that moment in time.
Yeah. And it was, you know, through the process and even in the book, I mentioned as I was going along, maybe I picked the wrong goal. It's too tough for me. You know, I, in terms of the pain associated with the effort, you know, you could run 100 or you could run a mile, and neither one of those things is going to be as lactic acid producing as running a maximal 400. So there was a little bit of bad acidness in there. And, you know, I got humbled quite a bit, but in the end, you know, I was fortunate to use all these principles to come through. And, you know, it's kind of one of these things to say to the listeners, and I realize that, you know, I have a running background, so this doesn't correlate as well with every person, but go to your local high school track and make sure you warm up properly. That's safe for you to do this, and then run all out for one lap and just see what you can do. And I think that helps to put this into perspective, because, you know, I like to be, you know, talk about mediocrity and all that, but that performance, you know, pushed a little to the high side of mediocrity. So I was very happy with it.
Absolutely. And I mean, John, what I think that, you know, really, when you know, when I first read this question, embrace middle age as opposed to rejecting it, I think it's, I like that, you know, taking the blinders off and saying, you know, this is where I'm at, and I want to be the best version of myself in this moment for these stated reasons. And there's a confidence and a sort of really grounded foundation in that to, you know, achieve that goal that you're setting in this moment in time.
Yeah. And without like being snarky or anything, you know, I would say there's no way that I could have done that if I hadn't, you know, been invested in this, the science of this stuff for over 3 decades. You know, I really had to apply every little bit of training and recovery and nutritional wisdom to eke and squeak that performance out. And so that's what kind of I say to, you know, the listeners, just like, hey, you know, if you have a clear goal that you're struggling with, or there's even a kind of a pie in the sky goal, maybe you should hire me as your coach, because this stuff works, and I've proven it, and I've certainly proven it with lots of other clients as well.
Well, John, that's a good transition into Marty's third question, and he gets a little bit more specific, so I'll just go ahead and read that. He writes, in chapter 17 from the book, you talked about 3 key principles that you emphasize for successful performance: moderate consistency, soft pedaling, and realism. Can you speak to each of these a bit more?
Absolutely. And yeah, you know, there are a few paragraphs on those topics. So I think much more could be said, and I won't say too much here, but I'll say a little more than I said in the book. You know, moderate consistency, first of all, it's one of our basic principles at the Lifetime Body. It's all about instinctive training. So learning and knowing how to ebb and flow and get training done, but also flexing around life is essential. And, you know, a lot of people will talk about the 80% principle, and I've certainly seen that in, you know, hundreds of, if not thousands of my clients, is, you know, if you do about 80% of your, you know, desired training and support activities, your stuff, you tend to get, oh, and if you do that about 80% of the time, so it's 80% of the stuff, 80% of the time, you tend to get about 95 to 99% of the potential results. So it's amazing how many times that I've seen that happen and felt it as well. Perfection is neither necessary nor attainable, but getting close gets the job done, and actually gets it done best.
Interesting. I can see, just kind of based on the intro email that Marty sent in, that's something that he could put into play and, you know, potentially get, just like you said, getting the job done best.
Yeah. And I'd say it, you know, I've said this about myself, but maybe Marty's in the same place. You know, he's juggling a lot of life and he's highly motivated, but we might have a case of what sometimes I'll call motivation misapplied. And it really just means he means well and wants to do well. So he's trying to hit everything all the time. And his body is, you know, sometimes subtle, sometimes screaming, giving him these messages. It's not working, but the mind just wants to override it. And so, you know, we have to kind of get into that the zen of that and get a little more artful in how we apply training and recovery and sense what we need and don't need.
Yes. So his second principle that he wanted you to go into more detail is soft pedaling. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and so that's a little bit more specific. Let's say we're right in a workout, and you know, you go through whatever type of workout you're doing, you know, training for a sport or fitness or what have you, and as you're going through, oh, maybe the warm-up or the first few sets of a lift or, you know, reps of running, you know, whatever it is, you know, your body's giving you feedback. And so sometimes you don't want to immediately decide, unless you're ill, that today's not a workout day. It's like, oh, let's go through, let's get started, and then see if we, you know, get into it. Well, soft pedaling is really how you assess that status, and you back out of your workouts intuitively if something or anything isn't quite right. I've to give an example, you know, so actually this happened to me quite a bit this year. Some of it happened during the book, although I think I was doing things more attentively because I was writing a book about it and I was reporting to, you know, the blog audience occasionally. So I had more of that happen 2 years later this summer than I did during, you know, the Project Full Circle Squared. So the soft pedaling thing. This year I kind of had a different goal and I didn't necessarily write too much about it. You know, we've talked a little bit of a couple blog articles, but I got very interested in running the mile. Running the mile as a measure of cardiovascular fitness and, you know, comparisons to age-related standards and all these different things. I had a couple of injuries, none of which actually happened while running, that, you know, things like yard work and, you know, whatever. I won't bore you guys with that. But every time the injury was kind of healing, you know, I'd go and I'd start a workout and it's not there. It's not quite right. I can't really do what I thought I was going to do in my mind or on paper. So I just shut it down. And so shutting it down, you know, that might mean, oh, you know, just reduce things a little bit and cruise out of it, or just basically fold up shop and go home. And in doing that, it's hard to do because you want to do the training, but anytime you're training with a body that is in a less than optimal state, you're not going to absorb the training. And you're probably going to risk injury, breakdown, burnout, et cetera.
You know, John, and I think that this is, I mean, you know, learning this from you, and actually, you know, when I, in the summer, I, you know, did a fair bit of mountain biking, and this was something that, you know, I would, you know, plan a ride the next day, and maybe in my training, it was a big ride. And a couple of times I went out there and, you know, as I was, you know, beginning to start, you know, starting the ride, I just realized I didn't have it for the ride I had conceived in my mind and planned. And so it does take some, you know, obviously self-awareness, but also some just acceptance of saying, today's not the day. And like, that's okay. That's actually intelligent and wise, and it'll get you to your goals to, you know, to get off of the, you know, the training that perhaps you had scheduled in advance.
Yeah, releasing oneself from the rigid mindset. And mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're driven to want to overdo it. That's probably human nature. But it has a huge cost and it backs us up. So if we can not only accept that, oh, okay, this is a different workout than I originally thought I was going to do, and then maybe take it to the next level and just celebrate it and say, hey, you know what? This is part of the process, and I'll return another day to do, you know, what I thought I was going to do or something similar. But today my assignment is actually to preserve and nurture this body so that it can get back to 100%. Cause right now it's at like 74.6.
I love that. Well, this really does dovetail with the third principle that Marty wanted you to talk about, which is realism. And could you go into a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah. So realism, it's just what it sounds like. I always try to look at it in two ways. You know, number one, if I'm talking about a goal, and if I say, if this is what I want, then these are the things, you know, the processes, whatever they may be, that I need to do to get it done. No excuses, no compromises. Got to own it. You know, we have that principle, ownership. But it's very, very true. And so, you know, I try to get out of the 3D thinking and the delusion and denial in addiction on that. And then number two, looking at performance, I have to say this is, if this is what I did, this is what I got, it's how it turned out. That's pretty much a reflection of what I put into it. No place for self-loathing. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just going to analyze the data, accept it, and maybe learn from it. If I don't like the result, then I'm going to figure out what to do differently. So I try to almost look at it as a learning opportunity and a bit of a science project. You know, we use project a lot here at TLB. And that's being realistic. I think I've worked with a lot of people, both in humorous capacities and more serious ones, where they struggled with that, and they wanted something that they weren't working towards and didn't see that connection. They were already very content with what they were doing, but they had placed a goal on it that really wasn't in line. And so sometimes it's just good to have that realism. And whether you have it with yourself or you're sitting across the table or a computer screen with your coach, that's the art of coaching.
Yes, indeed. So Marty's fourth question, this is something that I'm really excited to talk about. And this is what his fourth question was. You dedicated Appendix D to the subject of recovery. How do I know if I'm doing that correctly?
Vitamin R. That sounds pretty cool. Maybe since we don't have a supplement company, we get these empty bottles full of air, but it's special air, and we put an R on it. So, if you open it up and it's keeping you sitting still and, you're not introducing toxins to your body. So maybe it's going to help you recover. Okay. I'm delusional there. First, I'd respectfully say to Marty that, I don't think you're really recovering correctly. And the reason is you say this in your comment and question is, you're feeling exhausted and underperforming consistently. Probably again, looks like you're training 7 days per week, and most of it is probably again of moderate or higher intensity. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm all for intensity, just not all the time. The body needs to adapt, and so with that, we touched on this earlier. But if we want the body to recover, we can bring down the intensity and maybe even decrease the total volume and frequency of training. Those are the things that we can manipulate quite easily.
And John, I think that I've heard you say this, but if we take a step back and we look at some of the most elite athletes, we see their intensity in their training, but what we, no one ever trains a camera on them as they're also resting and recovering hard, right?
Yeah. And the ones that, any athlete, any sport, the ones that have the longest careers are the ones that are adding as much or better recovery when compared to their training and practice and competition. In other words, that's matching up or recovery is exceeding training. They're the ones that have the long careers and the most successful. The ones that are kind of living the quote unquote rock style lifestyle and training hard, they don't last very long at all, sometimes just a couple of years. And so that's kind of an interesting thought. And it relates to how I would describe it, that fitness, and we're not, sports performance is more than just fitness, but when we're looking at the body and how it absorbs training, fitness is the combination of workload plus recovery. And most people don't lack for effort. I don't know very many lazy people in the training realm, to be honest. Most people really get after it, but where art needs to meet science is in knowing, what type of workouts fit a person best, both for their body and for their goals, how much of a fitness maker stimulus they need, they can absorb, and then how much backfill with easy recovery work like mobility training, taking those walks, et cetera, that do they need to do until they're ready to go again.
So what would you say is a good way to do an experiment on yourself, just like you suggested? Maybe Marty cuts back from 7 to 5 and adds, a day in there specifically, for a light recovery. And then just, is he writing down how he feels? How would you sort of do a smart experiment on adding more recovery in there?
Yeah, there's definitely a transition there. So let's say if we put some parameters out for Marty, say, okay, let's really be clear. Let's take you from, from 7 workouts a week to 5. And preferably that would be one a day. So we've got 5 days of training, 2 days off. I wouldn't do it 5 plus 2. I would actually say, you know, train 2 or 3 days, take a day off, train another, you know, 2 or 3 days, take a day off. That's first of all how I do it. Then we talked about reducing intensity. So then, you know, intensity is effort, and in some cases it can be measured by heart rate or can be measured by weight lifted. You know how to do that, Marty. Knock that down 20%. So you're doing 80% of the intensity that you had been. So an example, try to be really clear is, you know, if you're doing a lift with 100 pounds, now you're using 80 pounds, you know, just to make it simple. So we've reduced the total volume of training. We've reduced the frequency. So we're not every day. We've reduced the intensity. So that's, you know, you've done that. Now you say, well, how do I measure? You know, how do I know? So there's two ways to do this. We can be scientific and get some objective data that way. And that's the first thing I would say. You know, you can track your heart rate in the morning. It's different times per day, but morning is probably a good best time to do it. Also, there's a number of great devices and apps for heart rate variability, which is really kind of like the gold standard these days of, recovery assessment or looking at how your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems are relating, and that sounds like that might be another show, but I'll just mention it here. Sleep tracking, you know, again, there are devices and different things available that you can look at how long you sleep, how much, what type, you know, are you in non-REM, non-rapid eye movement sleep versus rapid eye movement sleep, what's your recovery status? You can do that. You can use journals, diaries, you know, with some various comments, things, get some frequent blood work. All those things have a place, and you can start to record this data and map it out. You know, you can do a spreadsheet, or you can, you know, that can be graphed or correlated, and suddenly you can say, oh gosh, I notice when, my nutrition has been fairly good. My sleep is good. Heart rate variability is high, not low. Again, that's for the show that we'll talk about this. And resting heart rate is consistently low. That my performance is better. And so, okay, you've got that. Then you'll probably also notice, gosh, those were days when I felt great. I had more energy, more enthusiasm for life, less joint aches, all those things go together. And that kind of segues into, you know, what I'm talking about in basic principles is instinctive wisdom. And so the body, you know, it has all these abilities to tell you, how you're doing. You know, it's inside. You have an inner app, but we're conditioned in this modern society to ignore it. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with starting out, going ahead and using some, mechanical things to, you know, start to, oh, and now I'm seeing it, you know, and the objective mind likes that. But then ultimately, you know, you most of us have this ability to look at your inner sense, what number that is. Is it 6, 7, 8, 9? I don't know. But you'll be able to tell, hey, today is a day to really get after it in training. Today is not, it's easy.
And John, you know, I love that. I think that I've, you know, with your guidance, you know, tapped into that instinctive wisdom. And if you are listening, you are right. Your body and, you know, your mind will give you the feedback if you're in tune to it. I think that, and sometimes with what you mentioned earlier, the intensity of the training and where, you know, maybe that feels like work, we kind of ignore the signs, and that's when we don't get that feedback. So that was the last question that we had from Marty. And I think we loved all the questions and the insight, and hopefully that in an era, an interval of time passes, we'll check back in and see how this insight may have affected what he did with his training and recovery. And so it's fitting that today's show it's brought to you, the listener, by the Lifetime Bodies Coaching and Health and Fitness Consulting. And so whether you're a master's athlete, or you want to stop spinning your wheels and finally get on the podium, maybe you're someone who is struggling with weight loss or your body composition, or you just want to look, feel, and perform your best, you can sign up for a session or package today and start getting the most out of your life and your training. All you have to do is go to lifetimebody.com, click on services, and select your option. It's the easiest and most effective thing you'll do with your training this year. And I think that, you know, when I step back and look at what we went through today, it's very similar to how you get started with someone in terms of consulting, you know, consult and then putting a plan in place. This is, you know, essentially Marty saying, hey, I have some questions about my health, wellness, and ultimately my performance. This is what's going on with me. I'm experiencing some challenges. And then, you know, that's John, when you leap in and you say, all right, this is how we're going to put a plan together. And, so that's really what we're talking about. We got a little insight into how that process works today. And it's personal to you as an individual. If you sign up and decide to go for that.
Yeah. Thanks, PK. And I'd say that, you know, it's goals, it's process, it's relationship, support, accountability. That's how, you know, things get done. And that's how, you know, obviously all the athletes that we were talking about, the ones that are really successful, both in long careers and high performance, do it. And that's what we do. And it also, you know, everybody's an athlete. So your goal might be getting healthy or losing some weight or working in your garden. And those are athletic goals. You know, we love it. And, you know, as we wrap up today's show, it's time for another award winner to be recognized for leaving us a 5-star rating and review. This one is from Abby Mac BZN, who listens on Apple Podcasts. Abby had this to say about the show. A great podcast. The Lifetime Body is worth every listen. I love how you guys stay grounded in the realm of what's possible for regular everyday people by acknowledging that we all need different things in the realm or that we all need different things as you provide insight and advice into how each of us can improve our overall health, fitness, and nutrition. I look forward to each episode and frequently go back to re-listen for little nuggets of extra wisdom. Thanks, John and PK, for conveying your collective research in a fun and accessible way. 5 stars. Wow. Thank you, Abby. And please shoot me an email to let me know when we can set up your complimentary training consult. And thanks, as always, listeners. And of course, mighty, mighty PK.
Thank you, John. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Lifetime Body Podcast. If you'd like more information on the Lifetime Body publications and services that can help you to achieve ultimate wellness and look, feel, and perform your best, check out thelifetimebody.com. And if you're digging this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, this is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime.